The Power of the Word is brought to you each week by the support of our partners and friends. Last week on Power of the Word.
We're talking about atmospheres that God moves in. An embracing of the presence of the Holy Spirit, which means embracing the gifts. What are the gifts? Well, there's nine gifts of the Spirit we find over in 1 Corinthians 12. You find those gifts, but then there are gifts in relationship to that, that he releases in the church. When Jesus ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The gifts that he left were the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. These men and women are put in place, put in position as under leaders under the head of the church to assist the Lord Jesus in doing what he's called to do.
Words are powerful. In fact, the course for your life is set into motion through your words. In this dynamic book, Dr. King shares the importance of controlling the words you speak. You'll learn how to apply faith through what you say, control your words, thoughts, and attitudes, overcome your problems by declaring the truth of Scripture, and create an atmosphere of faith in your life. To get your copy of Speaking Faith-Filled Words by Dr. Ed King for only $14, visit us at poweroftheword.com. Or call us at 1-800-956-4433. Set the path for your life today by speaking faith-filled words.
The speaking evil of dignities is to speak evil of people who have a spiritual position of authority, whomever that may be. They're not afraid to speak evil of people who have been placed in authority by the hand of the Lord. And that's when he went on to say, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a writing exact accusation against them before the Lord. See, an angel won't even do it. But we just feel like it's open game. See, and that's the word of caution. And it is a word of caution. Are you home?
Yes.
But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. In other words, the wolf has an agenda. It's called supper. I'm going to eat me a sheep, and I have no regard for the sheep whatsoever, its feelings, whatever. None. But the goat, you know, the goat thinks he's a sheep. They don't know the difference. They hadn't looked in the mirror. They just running with the sheep. You follow what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then they speak evil of things they don't understand. Now, you know, there are things that come to the attention of people in leadership that are not necessarily things that you can talk about publicly. What do I mean? Well, what if one of the couples having an affair? You know, they got into sin. Well, do you think we ought to come and say that from the pulpit, or should we try to help restore their marriage? Why did they take them out of the music ministry? Maybe it wasn't a taking out of the music ministry at all. Maybe it's you need to work on your marriage. Put the music ministry on hold for a little while. Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. They shouldn't have done that. You don't know the details. You don't know the details. But you think you do. You get what I'm talking about? See, they speak evil of things they don't even understand. They don't know. Got a lot of accusations. Got a lot of that stuff that flows out. But angels are too smart to do it. And they're a lot more powerful than you. That ought to give us a pause. How'd I get on this? I don't know. Just here we are. And it says, they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Now, this is the important part. This is kind of the, everything I've said kind of gets you to here. Here. Everybody say here. Here's the key word, spots. Now, you remember when Jesus said that he's coming for a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish? You ever read that? Okay, a spot is a thing. It's like a fly speck. You ever go on a picnic and you see a fly on a potato salad? It's like, it's not good. See, we got a spot. We got to do something about that. See, it's something it's a contaminant. And it says, now listen, spots. They are in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. So this would be just what Paul said in Acts 20. He said, they're going to come in, they're going to be right with you. They're going to be right with you. They're going to be in your feasts. They're going to be in your fellowship hall. They're going to be doing socials with you. They're going to be doing dinner with you. But they got a gossip thing. They got an agenda. And they're willing to speak things they don't even know. And they sow discord. Seven things I hate, saith the Lord, and one of those is those that sow discord among the brethren. What he said. See, that's a critical thing. Critical thing. To sow discord among your brothers and sisters. People who sow discord among brothers and sisters, they might not be a goat, but they're sure acting like a goat. I don't take any of it back. I leave it right where it is. Because the word speaks for itself right there. Okay? It says, spots are they in blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling. See, beguiling is trickery. They have a deceptive nature about them. They do it in the lobby. They do it in the fellowship hall. They do it in home meetings. They do it. They just do it while they meet with you. But they got something else going on. At heart they have exercised the covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam and son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, it tells you here in verse, I won't go through much of the description of this. And then, like I said, you can read this chapter in detail. Probably read it from a few translations, you'll get it. You'll pick it up. It says, these are wells without water. You know what a well without water is, don't you? I mean, it's a dry well. The well is a type of the Holy Spirit in you. You have a well of the Holy Spirit in you. You have a living river of water that flows up out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what he's talking about. They are bereft of spiritual depth. They don't have it. They don't have it. These are wells without water. Clouds, they are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved. They speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Okay, so you kind of get the drift here. Now, we hear this classic scripture, and you hear it quoted so often, and very little context is usually given for the scripture when it's quoted. We hear it quoted because it's such a visual to us. But we go down here, and man, I don't really particularly like reading this verse 21, but I will. For it had been better if they had not known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So they must have known something, and they turned from it. I don't like to read that, but that's in there. Okay? And it started up here with the false prophets and teachers, and then the spots carry it on through. I did read that in the Bible, you know. Now, this next verse is the one that draws so much of our attention because it's so graphically illustrative and gives us a picture of something that's like, that's interesting. But we see, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, it says that it would have been better if they hadn't known the truth than to go back on the truth they knew. You remember Jesus said about Judas, it would have been better if he'd never been born. It would have been better for him if he had never been born. Now, that's a strong indictment. And here you have something not as dramatic, but something pretty serious. It'd been better if you didn't know it than to turn your back on it. Because it's like the dog that returns to his vomit. That's an ugly illustration. But it's the one that the Holy Spirit chose to use. Or the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, going back to the pit from whence you were dug. Going back from to the place that you were redeemed out of. But notice how these people got back to the vomit and the mire. Through the false teachers, through the false prophets, and through the spots and blemishes that come in fellowship among you. That's how it happens. Well, I can listen to anybody I want to. Maybe. As long as it's consistent with this book. What did Paul say? He said, I cease not to warn you day and night. He said, there's those coming from without and there's coming those from within. But I'm telling you, I commend you. I've warned you for 3 years, but I'm telling you right now, when I leave, I commend you to the Word of God, which is able to build you up and give you your inheritance. If you will stay with the book, you're not susceptible to the nonsense of the false prophets, false teachers, or the spots and blemishes that want to come in and overthrow your faith. Wolves, goats, or any other form of falseness that the devil wants to bring, you can dismiss it, you can overcome it as long as you stay with this book. Your denomination is not your salvation. Now, we're okay with, you know, church hierarchy and all that stuff, but I'm telling you guys, when the end of this thing is said and done, you're going to be judged according to this book, not according to something else. Period. That's the protection that we have in the day and hour that we live. Period. You stay with the book. You don't go back. You stay with the book. You don't go back. What you know, you know. Why do you give up what you know? Well, I used to believe that. I know. Isn't that the problem? You used to? What happened to you? Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You did walk well. What happened to you? Not how you used to walk, it's how you walk now. And how you walk now, if it's correct, is how you need to continue to walk. You stay after that book. You stay connected to that book. You can stay connected to the Bible. Listen, you don't need to believe me if I don't preach to you the truth. But if I do preach to you the truth, you're obligated. Well, don't you know, Pastor, that the Lord's going to hold you accountable for what you tell the sheep? Yes, but listen, sheep. He's going to hold you accountable for what I teach you too. Not just me. We all accountable here. And I'm telling the truth before God, if it's the truth be told, I had absolutely zero intention of ever drawing any of that scripture out this morning. I had none. I mean, I'm going another way. I even told Nora, I said, be ready to do something, because we're going to minister a certain way at the end. And that's on this outline. We'll get to this one, though, because this is a real good one. But this is the word of the moment. Because we pray and we ask God to guide us. And then we believe he does.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. When you partner with Power of the Word, you are sharing that same love and making a real difference in the lives of hopeless and hurting people. Through our television ministry, we have the potential to reach millions of households across the world with the powerful messages of Jesus Christ.
Your giving, your partnership, brings that anointing into your life. That's what Paul said. He said, grace on me gets on you.
Help us continue to spread the gift of Jesus with your gift today. To give, go to poweroftheword.com. Call us at 800-956-4433 or text the word GIVE to 865-978-6380. Partner with Power of the Word and help us change lives.
These words are not designed to scare you. They're not designed to slap you into some sort of conformity. But it's just like Paul said, I cease not to warn you. See, that's the job of a responsible leader, is to give you warning, because I can't go home with you. I don't go to work with you. I don't live out through your week, through the week, what you do, the activities, the places you go. I don't do that. Don't want to do that. But you have to pass judgment. You say, well, we don't judge. You do judge. You always judge. You have to judge. Scripture says to judge yourself lest you be judged. We have to pass judgment all the time. Well, we're not to judge others. Well, yeah, you are. What do I mean? In 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about, you know, the chapter 5, it was that young man living in a relationship with evidently his mother-in-law. You know, really out of order. And Paul went directly into that next chapter. He said, know you not? Are you not worthy to judge in these matters? Don't you know one day you're going to judge the angels? So he said, you not only should you judge, you have to judge. Now, you don't wrongly judge people on things you don't know. You don't pass judgment that's unfair. False judgment, inaccurate judgment. But when you know something's wrong, you got to judge it. And you can judge a sin without being upset with a person. You can love a person and hate what they do. You can. And you should. And there's a distinct difference. When you pass judgment unjustly, an unjust judgment on anybody is to set the limit on yourself. What do I mean? If you judge somebody guilty of something that's inaccurate, that's the limit you live by. What I mean, judge not lest you be judged. So the judgment that you pass becomes your judgment. Well, I'll tell you what right now, if I was them, I wouldn't live in a big house like that. I'm not talking about ministry. I'm just talking about people, you know. I mean, wherever it goes. Well, you don't know. If you had the money, you probably would too. But you see, what you do is you set your limit in life. Because the judgment that you judge them by, God says, okay, that's their ceiling. They don't get to go any higher than that. That's it for them. Because when you judge, that becomes your ceiling. That's why we ought to make it sweet. To judge them becomes your judgment. To release them, you release yourself. You take the limits off of you when you take the conditions off of them. See, God doesn't qualify through us. He doesn't get your permission to bless somebody. He doesn't need it. He can bless them just because he wants to bless them. Well, I don't think he ought to. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? Even of your own members that lust and war in your flesh? He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, why are you accusing somebody unworthy? He said, why are you warring with them? See, he said, the reason for all war, you ready for it? It's greed. Your own personal lust. All war. Well, I want their land. Well, I want their possession. I want their oil field. I want their farmland. That's why nations war. Why individuals war. It's all about that. It's all about self-indulgence and self. It's all about self. Always, always about self. And you have to free somebody to become what God created them to become. You have to allow God to do in them what he desires to do in them without holding some personal judgment over them or declaring them unworthy. Are you home? Yeah, I mean, these are just things, you know, guys. I'm going to quit right there. I'm not done. Don't ever let it be said of me that I'm finished. I'm never finished. I'm never done. I just stop. Nora said, I could talk an hour about anything. Well, she's probably right. But I especially like to talk about the Bible. You know, everybody has things they like. You have things you like. I have hobbies. I like music. I really like music. I like cars. I like old cars, new cars, loud cars, fast cars, pretty cars. I just like them. You know, it's just a hobby with me. I just like that. But the Bible is not a hobby with me. I'm absorbed by that book. I've studied that book for 50 years. And I still feel like it's brand new. Feel like I don't know anything. Just don't know anything. I'm consumed by it. I want to know. I have a desire to know. I pray every day to know more. God, show me more. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Reveal to me that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I might know the hope of your calling, the exceeding riches of your glory and your inheritance in the saints, and I may know your power toward me as a believer, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under your feet and gave you to be head over all things to the church, which is your body, the fullness of you that filleth all in all. I pray it every day. Every day. I'm after this. I want to know it. You know why I want to know it? Number one, I want to know it. But you know what? I want you to know it. It is my absolute call and job to protect you from this nonsense that's going on out here in this world. That is my calling. And I believe it. And I if anybody ever took anything seriously, this boy takes this seriously. I mean it. And if you pay attention to me, we can get you through.
Scriptures tell us when Jesus ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And it talks about those fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And that's for certain ones. But even though there are those that have been set apart that way, each and every one of us has been gifted by God with certain attributes and abilities. We would call those in Scripture grace gifts. He has graced you with certain things that make you unique, very individual, but it's something that God gives to you to be given back to Him in service, in maybe the direction for your life. Some of us are good singers. I wouldn't come into that category, but that's something God gives you. He graces you with that. And when we embrace the fullness of what God has given to us, we begin to step into our destiny. We begin to step into our purpose that He gave us for life on this planet. Use your gift. Embrace the fullness of God, because He's given you something very special. Now, if you've never met Jesus, you maybe don't know that, because every time that a person comes to the Lord, there's an enhancement of that grace on their life. You may have been talented with something, but that talent is not necessarily the grace. He wants to give you something productive and fulfilling for you. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I embrace you. I take you as the Lord of my life. I give my life, my future, my very being to you. I repent of my sins, the things that separate me from you. And Jesus, I take you as Lord of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I know you mean it. You wouldn't pray a prayer like that and not mean it. Let us know here at Power of the Word, because we want to pray with you, but it's important also that you confess it. You need to tell somebody what you've done. Very, very, very important. That's what makes it real inside you. Thanks for being a part. We love you. We've enjoyed being with you. We don't take you for granted. You've got choices, and we thank you for being a part. We love you. Enjoy it again being with you, and we'll see you next time.